Grateful for God's grace and mercy that has brought us together in Christ as God's family. We're delighted to see you and I'm thrilled to be with you. The scriptures put a lot of emphasis upon thyself. Paul asked the Romans the question in Romans chapter 2 and verse 21, "Thou that teachest another, teachest thou not thyself?" To the Galatians, he talked about considering thyself. Galatians 6:1. When he wrote Timothy, he talked about behave thyself. 1 Timothy 3:15. Exercise thyself. 1 Timothy 4:7. Give thyself wholly. 1 Timothy 4:15. Take heed unto thyself. 1 Timothy 4:16. Keep thyself pure. 1 Timothy 5:22. Show thyself approved. 2 Timothy 2:15. And showing thyself a pattern of good works. Titus 2 and verse 7. There are some things that only you and I can do for ourselves. And nobody else can do. And that's emphasized by this word, thyself. You can't keep me pure and you don't have to. No more than I can keep you pure. I want to give attention to that direction to keep thyself pure from Paul's command to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 22. You might like to take out your gold songbook and turn to song number 433 entitled Pure in Heart, O God. Jason's going to come lead it for us. What I'd like for us to do in this brief study is call attention to some ways we can keep ourselves pure so as to be pure in heart, as we just sang about. The first thing I suggest to us is that if we're interested in keeping ourselves pure, we need some purpose of heart. You remember in the book of Daniel chapter 1, reading about young Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? How that they were first among the captives carried from Jerusalem into Babylon. How would you have reacted? A young man in a strange place among strange people speaking a strange language. Here you're at the king's table. And you realize that there's food on the table that would, if you ate of it, cause you to be unclean. Put yourself in Daniel's place. In Daniel 1 and verse 8. If you had been Daniel, what would you have done? The Bible says he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He didn't wait till he got to the table to make up his mind as to what he was going to do. He had planned ahead. He had put it in his mind that he was not going to participate in anything that would cause him to be unclean before God. And so he made a request that they'd be given pulse teeth. 10 days passed, and they were found to be fairer and fatter than those who had eaten the king's dainties. You and I need to have some firm resolve and determination that we're going to be pure. Just as eating at Nebuchadnezzar's table would have brought impurity to Daniel, there are some things that will cause us to be impure. The Lord talked about those in Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. He said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. What is it that comes out of the heart, Lord? For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Purpose in your heart. Make up your mind today that you're not going to involve yourself in any of these activities. Purpose in your heart not to think evil, not to commit murder. And by the way, John said that the individual who hates his brother is a murderer just by having a bad attitude toward your brother would cause you to have an impure heart. Purpose in your heart to not commit adultery. To love the one you marry and to be true. Purpose in your heart that you're not going to commit the sin of fornication. You're not going to lose your personal purity before you marry. Purpose in your heart you're not going to steal. You're going to respect other people's property. You're not going to bear false witness. You're not going to lie or cheat or be dishonest. And that you're not going to be guilty of blasphemy. Purpose in your heart. Don't wait till the situation arises. What am I going to do? I haven't even thought about this. Everybody else is drinking. I've already thought about that. I've put it in my mind. I'm not going to drink because I know wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. When they pass around these drugs that these others are taking, popping pills and injecting needles and sniffing and snorting, I'm not going to do that because I've already purposed in my heart that I'm going to keep myself pure. A second way that you and I can keep thyself pure is by taking heed to the Word of God. You like something pure? You like your water to be pure? Maybe you go to some great lengths to ensure that your water is pure. Maybe you're on a well and in order to ensure that the water that you drink, your family drinks, and is used in your cooking is pure and clean. You have an eradicator put in as a filtration system. And it goes from that through a Culligan water softener. And then it might go through a whole house filter. And then before it comes to the tap, you might even have a reverse osmosis system. Somebody said, why in the world would you do that? Because we want things pure. Look at all the excitement in Flint. Why are those people all excited up there? Wouldn't you be? If there was lead in your water, you want that to be pure. I'd like to recommend to you something that is the purest thing you'll ever encounter. It's the Word of God. Look at these statements. Beginning in Psalm 12 and in verse 6. The psalmist said, the words of the Lord are what kind of words? Pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And so God's word is perfectly pure. In Psalm 19 and in verse 8, he continues, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord, what about the commandment of the Lord? Is pure, enlightening the eyes. In Psalm 119, and verse 140, the longest section of Scripture. Somebody might ask you sometime about reading the Scripture. You might say, what would you like for me to read? How about Psalm 119? It's a good place to gain some appreciation and respect for the Word of God. And in Psalm 119, 140, he said, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth. We ought to have great affection for the Word of God because of its purity. And then back in Psalm 119 and verse 9, this question. How shall a young man cleanse his way? It's a good question, isn't it? Have you thought about that lately? Did you know that as a young person, you need to cleanse your way? You need to keep yourself pure? How do you do that? The answer, by taking heed thereto, according to thy word. In your gold book, Psalm 179. How shall a young man cleanse his way? Let's sing it.
Shall the young seek you?
said, I'd like to keep myself pure. Do you have another recommendation? This book does. And that is number three. I would recommend to us that we need to hear and warn. I take us this time to Acts chapter 20 when Paul had a meeting with the Ephesian elders. He said in verse 26 of Acts 20, wherefore I take you to record this day, what's the record? That I'm pure from the blood of all men. We got a little question for you, Paul. How could you say that? Pure from the blood of all men. Read the next verse. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. This reaches back to the charge God gave Ezekiel in Ezekiel 3:17 through 21. The duty of a watchman was twofold. It involved hearing the word and warning the people. Ezekiel 3:17 finds the Lord talking to Ezekiel on this wise. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman of the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth. Is that the end of it? No. And give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live. Because he is warned, also thou hast delivered thy soul. No wonder then Paul could say, I'm pure because I heard and I warned. I shun not to declare unto you all the counsel of God. In fact, within that Acts 20 context, he said in verse 31 that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. A fourth way in which you and I can help ourselves to be kept pure is to think. You know what's coming next, don't you? You're already a step ahead of me, some of you, on pure things. The apostle gave us some wonderful places to put our mind in Philippians 4 and verse 8. You might make a list of these. When he writes, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. Now listen to this one. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Paul, what kind of things you want me to think on? Things that are pure. How can I be pure if I'm not thinking on pure things? Did you know that you and I are what we think? The wise man said in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, our mind, just allow that to represent our mind, is made up of two things. You know what that is? What we hear as well as what we see. Now, if I am what I think and my mind is made up of what I hear and see, I need to be careful as to what goes in these ears and through these eyes. That's why the Lord said in Mark 4 and verse 24, take heed what you hear. And in Luke 8 and verse 18, take heed how you hear. What kind of music you listen to? A lot of the music being produced is very impure. It does not promote pure thoughts. And if I'm trying to keep myself pure, and I realize that my mind's made up of what I hear, and that affects my thinking, and that influences my purity, then if a song's going to produce thoughts that are impure, you think that's something I need to be listening to? What kind of music are you listening to? Got your headphones on? Or the earbuds in? Is it promoting purity? I believe the Lord recognized that music has a great impact upon the soul. Because He commands us, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Ephesians 5:19. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Sometimes a little child will learn to sing before he speaks. A lot of things are learned and taught through song. Some learn the books of the Bible by learning to sing the books of the Bible. Learn stories of the Bible by learning to sing those stories. And sometimes we learn evil because of the songs that have played over in our mind time and again. But not only is our mind made up of what we hear, but what we see. And so I've got to be careful as to what I see. You know, a little song we sometimes sing. Oh, be careful. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. The Bible talks about the lust of the eyes, 1 John 2:16. And you could make a study of some people down through the ages who got themselves into some real hardships because of what they saw, starting with Eve in the garden. When the Bible reports she saw a tree that was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and desired to make one wise. It all started when she saw Achan. Saw a goodly Babylonish garment, some silver and gold. And I tell you, that was overcoming to him. You think about what that cost him. He lost his life and his family lost their lives on the garment he would not wear and gold and silver he would not spend. Think about that. You say, that's ridiculous. You know, there are things that I might see that could cause me to lose everything. I need to know that. I need to learn that. I need to be careful what I see. Now, it's been said, you can't keep the birds from flying over, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. You might see a little something. You don't have to dwell on it. You don't have to research and look and find more of it. Right? Look the other way. The Lord said, if your right eye offend thee, do what? Pluck it out. He's not teaching mutilation, that you literally mutify, but He's teaching mortification. That is, you put to death, you cut off, you don't look. Don't listen. Television comes on with vulgarity and nudity. Turn it off. Turn the channel. See some of that on the internet. Pull the plug. Don't get started down that road. It'll take you places you don't want to go. And so if I'm going to keep myself pure, I've got to think on pure things. And only you and I can control our thinking. Let me give another thing that might be helpful to you. But hopefully will be helpful to me as well. And that is, if I'm going to keep myself pure, I'm going to have to flee some things. I need to flee lust. I take us this time to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 22. Paul said, listen to this, flee also youthful lust. Youthful. There are some lusts. There are desires and passions that are especially urgent when we're young. And those desires and those passions are not to be stirred up or awakened till the marriage bed. Marriage is honorable and all in the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Hebrews 13 and verse 4. In 1 Peter 2 and in verse 11, Peter said, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. And Peter wrote in 2 Peter 1 and verse 4 that corruption is in the world through lust. The lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. 1 John 2 and verse 16. And Paul said, flee. That is, run. Flee. Get away from it. Fornication. Fornication. That's sexual immorality.
Joseph's a good example of that. Genesis 39, 7 through 12, he was in a bad place, a place you don't want to be. In a place by yourself with somebody of the opposite sex. And you're not married. Not a good situation to be alone like that. She said, lie with me. And that wasn't just a one-time thing. She was persistent. She's so persistent, in fact, one time she came along, she took his clothes. And the Bible says he refused, he fled and got him out. He ran out of there. Left his clothes in her hand. Don't put yourself in a bad place or situation where you're alone like that with somebody. If you're going to be with somebody like that, take somebody with you. Take another man. Take your wife. Take somebody else. Flee fornication. Flee that. Run. Don't stay around. Get out of there. I need to realize that the only place to satisfy the sexual desires that God placed within male and female is within marriage. A God-approved marriage. Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. Matthew 19:4. And through 6 he said, therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And I need to learn, as Jesus said in Matthew 5:28, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Two people involved there. He and the woman. As a woman, you need to realize that men are stimulated visually. And not to dress or act or behave in such a way as to excite lust in their heart. And you and I need to learn as men not to look on a woman to lust after. As the wise man said, lust not after her beauty in your heart. To make a covenant with mine eyes, as Job talked about. Flee youthful lust. When you think about that, you need to keep your hands to yourself. Young men, young ladies. You know, the Bible says it is good for a man not to touch a woman, but to avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. 1 Corinthians 7:1-2. I need to know that. And some of the decisions that you make now, while you're young, will remain with you for the rest of your life. You'll be able either to look back over your younger years with joy and happiness, or they could bring you a lot of sorrow and heartache. And that sin will leave scars that will remain with you the rest of your life. The Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. We're trying to help you avoid some hardship and hardness. We don't always realize that. We don't understand that. But that's a principle that remains and will endure until time shall be no more, that the way of transgressors is hard. It's easy to just read that and not understand that. But there may be things that we go through in life that are very unpleasant that we wouldn't have to have experienced if we'd learned and just abided by this purity principle to flee lust. And there are four people you need to think about, at least. You need to think about your own purity. You need to think about yourself. You need to think about keeping yourself pure. But you need to think about this other individual. What about his purity? What about her purity? You're not going to help them keep themselves pure if you're trying to get them to do something that would compromise their purity. And don't think about them only. Think about who your future spouse may be. You want to save your purity for them. You want them to be pure, don't you? And they come to realize that you've compromised your purity, they're going to have to live with that. Or you think about here, you've taken advantage of somebody and you've satisfied your desires and your lust at their expense, not only their expense, but their future spouse's expense. Think about that. And so there's at least four people to think about when it comes to fleeing lust. So I'd like to keep myself pure. How do I do that? Well, I got another suggestion to us from the precious book. And that is to make friends of God's children. Jason's going to come announce a song number and lead it for us. Notice that first verse of the song. Take time to be holy. Make friends of God's children. In 2 Timothy 2:22, these words follow the admonition, flee also youthful lust. What's the continuation? You know, when you're fleeing, you're going the opposite way, aren't you? You're pursuing other things. Instead of lust, what are you following? Righteousness, faith, charity, peace. Watch this. With them, you have to underscore that, with them that call on the Lord out of what kind of a heart? A pure heart. We sang about that, didn't we? Pure heart. I want a pure heart. I need to make friends of God's children. I need to follow after righteousness and faith and charity and peace with them that have a pure heart. I need to associate with those who have pure hearts. Whether I realize or not, who I associate with, who I keep company with, who my friends are, will have an impact upon my purity. And if I'm spending a lot of my time with people who are impure, they don't have respect for themselves or respect for anybody else or respect for God and His Word, that's going to rub off on me if I'm not careful. So say, it's not going to affect my son, no, or my daughter. Put them in a white suit and send them off in the coal mine and tell them not to get dirty. It's going to rub off on them. We're filling ourselves. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15:33, Paul said, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That's in the context of false teachers, the corrupting influence of false teaching, as there are those who would say that the resurrection, no, that's not true. There be no resurrection. Well, that kind of teaching is going to corrupt you. You can't tolerate false teaching because it leavens the whole lump. Just a little bit of it will. And that's true also of who our friends are. Did you know that one impure friend can corrupt the purity of your child? Just one. And can undo all the good morals and manners that you've tried to instill within them. Just one. I've heard of situations where there were young people that were good, decent young people, and they got themselves all mixed up in all kinds of things that you would have never imagined. And somebody said, what happened? They got with the wrong crowd. It happens all the time. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, and by the way, this is the book of wisdom. It's a great book for young people to read and study and apply. He that walketh with wise men shall be what? Be wise. You could easily say, he that walketh with pure people shall be pure. You want to be wise? Be with those who are wise. Make friends of God's children. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. There are two groups of people in this world. And you and I fall into one or the other camp, by the way. Wise or foolish. Don't spend your time with a bunch of fools. In association with that, another passage in Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, we read a Paul and Barnabas preaching trip. It's the first trip, and early on in the trip, they meet up with a deputy by the name of Sergius Paulus, Acts 13:7. He was a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Prudent people desire to hear the word of God. And I'm thankful for your desire, as evidenced by your presence here today, that you desire to hear the word of God. But there was somebody that got in the way. In verse 8, Elymas the sorcerer withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy, underscore that word enemy, of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And here's a man who withstood these teachers of truth and got in the way of the truth being taught to a man who desired to hear it. And he was smitten with divine pepper spray, we might say, in verse 11. When, and now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness. And he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Four expressions here that are equivalent. You might like to underscore, highlight them. Verse 7, last four words, the word of God. Then last two words of verse 8, the faith. Draw your line from verse 7 down to verse 8. The word of God is the faith. And then the last words of verse 10, the right ways of the Lord. The word of God and the faith are equivalent to the right ways of the Lord. Draw your line down now to verse 12. Last five words, the doctrine of the Lord. You see, the word of God is the faith, and the faith are known as the right ways of the Lord. And the right ways of the Lord are the doctrine of the Lord. You see, when you follow the instructions of the word of God, you're walking in the right ways of the Lord. And when you deviate from the word of God, you're not walking in the right ways of the Lord. You're not doing what's right. You're doing what's wrong. The word of the Lord is right, Psalm 33 and verse 4. Let me ask you, are you interested in doing things the right way? You know, there's a right way and a wrong way to do things. That's true in all areas. There's a right way to play football. There's rules that have to be followed. There's a wrong way to play basketball. Right? You have a book that you follow, that you subscribe to. The rule book. This is the rule book of life. And the Word of God is known as the right ways of the Lord. We could make a whole study of the right ways of the Lord, the right way to talk, the right way to dress, the right way to live. There's a right way and a wrong way. And I want you to understand a point that I believe is very, very impressive from this text. And that is, whenever there's somebody that tries to keep you from doing what's right, or stands in your way, tries to get you to do something that's wrong, that individual is not your friend, they're your enemy. They don't care about you. Oh, they may care about themselves. But there's somebody that, oh, they say, I love you, and if you love me, we'll do this together. They don't love you. You see, love seeketh not her own. They're seeking their own. They're not seeking what's best for you. Love seeks the best for the other person. See that? And so if you've got somebody that's trying to get you to compromise your purity, they don't love you. They're not interested in your welfare. They're only seeking their own. And they're not your friend. They're your enemy. And by the way, if you try to get somebody to compromise their purity, and you're leading them in a way that is contrary to the Word of God, to try to get them to do something that's not right but wrong, you're not a friend of them. You're their enemy. How can I keep myself pure? By making friends of God's children. One other point, and the lesson will be yours. I can help keep myself pure by practicing pure religion. You know, sometimes folks say, well, it doesn't make any difference what religion you're involved in. One is just as good as another. Well, is vain religion as good as pure religion? Is it? He talked about vain religion, didn't he? James 1:26. You know, most of the religions that folks subscribe to and are involved in and practice are vain. That is, they're empty. They're without meaning. If you seem to be religious, but you don't bridle your tongue, you're deceiving your own heart, and your religion is vain. It's all for naught. But in verse 27, to contrast, he says, pure religion. That's what we're talking about, purity. And undefiled before God and the Father is this. I want to practice that pure religion. What is that religion? To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. One great way to help keep myself pure is by doing some visiting. Kind of like Paul and Barnabas in Acts 15:36. Let's go see our brethren and see how they do. Orphans. Are there some who are orphans? Are there some who have become widows? Lost their spouse? How about spend some time with them? Go look at them, after them. And in Matthew chapter 25, one word is going to separate a lot of people at the judgment. You know what that is? This. The Lord said, I was sick and you visited me. Or you visited me not. They said, when did we see you? He said, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Or you did it not to me because you didn't do it to your brethren. And so the Lord and his people are so connected that when you do for your brethren, you're doing for the Lord. And when you neglect your brethren, you're in essence neglecting the Lord. That's like when Saul was persecuting Christians. He was persecuting the church. And the Lord said, why persecutest thou me? And to keep himself unspotted from the world. The world will spot you. The world's a filthy place. Lots of pollution. And it's not at the landfill. We're talking about moral pollution. That's worse. Things that will pollute your soul. War against your soul that are in opposition to God and to His Word. And it's my challenge and it's your challenge to keep ourselves unspotted from it. We want to run around with it. We want to get right up next to it and think, it's not going to rub off on me. It don't bother me. Maybe that's the problem. There are things that don't bother us which should bother us. John said, love not the world. 1 John 2:15. Be not conformed to this world. Don't be patterned after the passing age in which you live, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Make no friendship with the world, James taught. How can I keep myself pure? I'm commanded to do that, and I can only do that for me. No matter how much you might like, you can't keep me pure. And I can't do that for you, no matter how much I might like to do that. I can't do it. You got to do it yourself. And heaven is a pure place for pure people. You want to go somewhere pure? You don't have to worry about lead in your water. No contamination, no impurity. In Revelation 21:18, when John described the beautiful heaven, he said the city is pure gold. And then verse 21, the street of the city was pure gold. And then chapter 22:1, he was showed a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. But this pure place is for pure people. When the psalmist talked about residents of heaven, Back in Psalm 24, listen to these words. Psalm 24, and in verse 4. He talked about who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place. Would you like to be in the holy place? Would you like to be in the presence of the Lord? Who is it, Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Does that describe us today? In Matthew 5 and verse 8, the Lord said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You want to see God? You got to be pure in heart. That's why we sang that song, pure in heart, O God. Wouldn't that imply that if our hearts aren't pure, we're not going to see God? We're not going to be in that pure place. And then Revelation 21, 27, he talked about the place of purity. He said, there shall in no wise enter into it, that's heaven, anything that defileth. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. First step is to purify myself. I've got to get pure with the Lord. How do I do that? Same way that folks did in Bible days. Seeing you purified your souls, obeying the truth. 1 Peter 1:22. The truth is the Word, and the Word is the truth. Sanctify them through truth. Thy Word is truth. John 17:17. And so I've got to obey the Word of God, the truth of God, to purify my soul. Sin causes the soul to be impure. It's defined as the transgression of law, 1 John 3:4. Either by going beyond or falling short, doing more or doing less than what God says. And it's defined as all unrighteousness, 1 John 5:17. That's not doing what's right. When I do something that's wrong, that's not right, I've sinned and my soul is impure. And it'll keep me out of the pure place. And so I've got to purify myself. I've got to get right. And I do that by hearing the Word of God. Like folks in New Testament days when Peter on Pentecost said, hear these words. And that produces faith. You know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God in Romans chapter 10 and in verse 17. And in Acts chapter 15 in verse 9, it talks about how that He put no difference between us and them, no difference between the Jew and Gentile, purifying their hearts by faith. The heart's purified by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But then we must repent of our sins. We've got to make a change. I've been involved in these things that are impure. I do it about face. I turn around. I've been satisfying these youthful lusts. I quit doing that. I'm going to follow after righteousness and these spiritual things. With them that call on the Lord, I have a pure heart. I've been spending my time with people that don't respect me, that don't care for me. They're not my friends. What am I going to do? I'm going to associate with those who are my friends. I'm going to make friends of God's children. That's one of the things that they work with on those who are involved in addictions, like drug addicts. One of the first things is you're going to have to change your friends. Where are the places you've been? You're going to have to find some better company to keep. Don't spend time, you'll be back in the pit. Right? Don't go back. Have to cut some ties. They're going to have to say, I don't live like that anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm a changed person. Give you a little story about that. Dear friend of mine, I was told that when he came to work for this company, he was regarded as the worst person to be around at work. Nobody wanted to be around him. But you know, he had a friend in the place of appointment. They had concern about his soul. Invited him to come to services, set up a Bible study with him, and he was converted. And to show you the power of the gospel, this fellow that nobody wanted to be around, when he retired, they said he's the best person ever worked with. A complete change. That's the power of the gospel. To change. From impurity to purity. And to make the confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And to be buried with baptism. That's how your impurity is all washed away. When you're baptized. You're baptized into His death. That's where He shed His blood. And we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. The blood of Christ washes away our sins. It remits sins. So, you need to get pure. You need to get yourself right. By obeying the truth. and everything's been made ready that you might do that. We'll take you to a place of water. And upon the confession of your faith, we can go down both into the water and we'll baptize you, and you can come up out of the water and go on your way rejoicing because you're pure. And you're in line for that pure place. Maybe you've already obeyed the truth. You become a Christian, but you have compromised your purity. Maybe you're lacking purpose of heart. Maybe you've not been taking heed to the word like you should. You failed. You can't say, as Paul, I'm pure from the blood of all men. Impure thoughts have corrupted you. You failed to flee lust. You've been keeping the wrong company, and they've rubbed off on you and involved you in some things that have compromised your purity. You've not been practicing pure religion. You can repent of that, and you can ask God to forgive you. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. 1 John 1:7-9. We love you. You're our friend. We want what's best for you. That's why we point these things out. We want you to go to heaven. We realize it's a pure place for pure people. Let's help one another to maintain our personal purity so that we can not only be friends here, but we can be caught up together to live together in the beautiful abode above. We can assist you in making your life right, regaining that purity. Won't you come now while we stand and sing the song? You at my door.